Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're starting hour two of the El Paso History Show like we always do, produced by Melissa Sargent. It will be an El Paso History moment. And she does this for the El Paso History Alliance. And her moment today is about the man named Marcelino Serna. He'll say his own name, maybe. Anyway, he has an international bridge named after him.
The medals were so many. In 1896, Marcelino Serna was born at the Hacienda Robinson Miners Work Camp in Chihuahua. He lived there till the Mexican Revolution when jobs became scarce. So at the age of 20, he left home and traveled north to El Paso to find a job and improve his life. He could not speak English, but regardless found work with the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroads. But Serna had heard work was better in Denver and headed north to Colorado. There he worked on a sugar beet farm, and that is also where Serna's life would truly take an unexpected turn. The United States had declared war on Germany in 1917. Serna, while working with a group of men, was picked up and questioned by federal officers who were checking draft status of potential soldiers. Serna, not wanting to be deported back to Mexico, decided to volunteer with the U.S. Army. Well, he completed his basic training, was sent overseas, and assigned to the 355th Infantry of the 89th Division's Company B. It was there the Army officers discovered that not only could he not speak English, he wasn't even a U.S. citizen. They offered him a discharge, but Serna declined and went on to fight for the United States. And fight he did. He fought in several battles. In St. Michelle, his unit came under heavy fire from a machine gun nest. After 12 men from his unit were killed, Serna volunteered to scout ahead before they lost anyone else. Serna found he was able to get himself close enough to the German machine gun nest that he tossed in four grenades. The blast killed six of the 14 soldiers, and then Serna captured the rest. 2 weeks later, during the Meuse-Argonne offensive, he once again volunteered to scout alone. Armed with only an Enfield rifle, a few grenades, and a pistol, he headed out. Spotting a German sniper, he followed the soldier back to his trench, where there were other soldiers. A skirmish ensued with Serna and the soldiers. When it was over, he had killed 26 German soldiers. Then, with guile, Serna was able to convince the remaining 24 soldiers they were being attacked by a large force, and they all soon surrendered. When the rest of Serna's platoon arrived, they were ready to kill the prisoners. But Serna stood his ground, citing the rules of the Geneva Convention for POWs. Just 4 days before the armistice agreement, Marcelino Serna was hit by sniper fire in both legs and ended up in a French Army hospital. For his outstanding service, he received the Distinguished Service Cross from General Pershing, which is the second highest American combat medal. He also received many other American, French, and Italian medals for his service and bravery. He was one of the most highly decorated soldiers in Texas history.
And that would be what that was.
Yes, and I dropped off the history Sergeant Inventory and the History Alliance for that one because I really felt he deserved some time.
That was a lot of time.
You're talking about doing a show on him because his history goes a lot further than that. I mean, they had to chase him down to give him all of his medals.
Interesting stuff. Well, that's on History Alliance. You're doing that for on Facebook. They're there with thousands of people.
That's right. And if people want to get involved, they can go call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920. And we can't forget Barbara Given-Bainey at Remembering El Paso Win, who does some other great things on history by posting pictures and archives and stories on the...
They work hard over there.
They really do.
And they have another administrator that she works with each week called Jim Carlton. Bunch of them, but we're talking about Jim this week. Interesting people there on Facebook. All right, talking about the history at hand here, the 12 travelers. We're not talking about 11 travelers or 9. We're talking about 12. And we got two of the main people who were there in the beginning. Jody Schwartz, good morning.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
Welcome here. And Press Derkup, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you, ma'am. And you two weren't you there from the very beginning? At least one of you was.
Press was. I'm very, very beginning.
I'm the old timer.
Well, so what is the beginning? We're talking about the 12 travelers in El Paso. We mentioned in the first hour that was an item that Tom Lee had done menus on in pictures. But then when John Hauser came along, What happened? What is this thing?
Well, John Hauser came to El Paso in 1988, and he met Tom Lee, and they just bonded. They had this wonderful thought that John could do something and add on to what Tom had already created. And so the two men got together, and Tom was wonderful. He said, yes, John, you go ahead. You start your 12 travelers. And, of course, Tom Lee's was the letter 12, and we did ours as the number 12. And so that's how they were separated. So you knew who you were talking about.
Well, they were
the
different
time.
Lists, too, right? They
yes.
were not identical.
No.
But they had some common.
They had the 12, but they all aren't the 12 that Tom Lee had decided.
So what did John decide to do?
Well, he decided he wanted to do these life-size figures. They would be in a walk-through history downtown, and would be very special.
Over life-size, bronze.
Bronze monuments. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they started talking about this, and we got the first one up down there. And our group, the 12 Travelers Board, was instigated about 5 years later. And it was funny because in all these years, there has always been just 12 board members. It's more now. But at the very beginning, it was only 12. And they were movers and shakers in the community.
It's a nonprofit corporation.
Nonprofit.
And you're raising funds to put up these monuments. And you had a deal with the city of El Paso.
Yes.
Some funding by taxpayers was thrown in there somewhere.
Uh-huh. It was like $137,000 for Fray Garcia and about the same for Oñate.
So Fray Garcia was first.
Yes. And then Don Juan Daniel, the equestrian.
At the airport.
Yes. And then
the biggest bronze in the world of a horse.
Yeah, it's 36 feet tall on an 8-foot base, 17 tons. I think I'm right. It might even be 42 feet. It's huge.
It really is.
Yeah, but that was, talking about money, that cost about $2 million. Mm-hmm. The airport gave $780,000. They really saved our lives at the end. And then our little group raised $1.3 million. So anyway, we're very proud of that. It took 10 years. But I want to get back to John asked Tom Lee, you know, like press said, and he said, well, what if I come up with some different figures? And he said, I don't care. He said, those are who I chose. You choose who you want. And he wanted women and Native Americans, a more diverse group. That was fine with Tom. Tom admired him tremendously.
So there is a woman in there.
There is.
And she's up.
Susan Shelby.
And she's at Keystone. Yes, Melissa?
Yes, she
absolutely.
Is. In the gardens where you get to come see her and her dog.
Oh, yeah. The first one's Fray Garcia. He was the original padre here in the valley? Is that what?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you got Don Juan de Oñate. He was the guy, 1598, that led all this huge expedition up to New Mexico, right through
epic,
here.
Epic colonization.
Naming El Paso, which is another reason he's part of this.
Right.
And then the third one
is Susan Shelby.
McGoffin. Mm-hmm. Susan Shelby McGoffin, the woman who pioneered the trail from Santa Fe to Chihuahua and did it kind of in an unusual style, but she wrote a diary.
Yes.
And that's how come we know everything she did.
And that's a perfect place for her because she came across on Donovan Street just so close to Keystone that it ties together.
They may have camped in that area for all we know. So.
Sure. Yep. And she just loved this area in her diary. She loved the people and everything. So we're really proud about her. She's gorgeous, a lovely monument.
And that was the last one that John really had worked on in huge parts because he did some of the maquette for Juarez, I guess. But that's the last one he saw go up.
But there was also something that happened at that time. I went to a meeting where they were discussing art for El Paso, and we were told that we could submit our agenda if we wanted to put up another one, but it wouldn't go on city property because they needed to bring in other artists. So that kind of squelched it right there for downtown.
When was this?
Well, it was prior. We were thinking about Susan Shelby McGoffin at
the
time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember.
Early 2000s.
So I just said, okay, we're not going to be deterred by this. We'll put them around and in the city of El Paso. It just has to be on private land.
Well, back to John's original concept was to load them right there where Fry Garcia
downtown.
Is.
Yes.
He wanted Oñate across the street.
Yes.
On top of the Camino Real fountain.
That's right.
He wanted.
That's where he wanted it.
A river walk of history. Yeah. You know, right. Like San Antonio, but we would have. Well, now they'll be spread around, but we're excited about that.
But like, you know what? That's okay, because that gets people out of downtown, out to see the rest of beautiful El Paso.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the way I felt. We're not going to be stopped by this. We're going to continue, and we're going to broaden.
Well, that's your standard thing about art meets politics. Okay, who's going to win? And sometimes politics does
win.
Yeah,
we don't have windmills on ours.
Yeah, we have equestrians instead of monuments to Oñate. And this is not a commemoration of these people. They're being remembered because they were turning points in history.
And they passed through here.
Yeah.
And left footprints of some wonderful things.
I mean, people think that Oñate was aggrandized, what a wonderful guy. Number one, he wasn't a wonderful guy. And number two, this is not to aggrandize him. It's to show the point in time at which this was very important. He was a major turning point.
And to see what he brought in, the horse and several things. When you look at what he brought into the area.
Right.
It's great.
Religion, language, music, everything. The horse that he actually brought. The horse that was introduced into the United States, Oñate's expedition. I mean, Cortez came through, but he didn't have mares, and so.
He didn't come up here.
No, he didn't. Well, anyway, our fourth, you want to ask about our fourth.
What's your fourth one, Jody Schwartz?
It's Benito Juarez, Child to Man, and we have a place for him, which is at the Chamizal, which is very exciting.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes. Because facing in the Juarez side of the Chamizal is a large bronze monument of Lincoln. And that when that was dedicated in 1964, the plan was for the United States side to have a Benito Juarez monument because the two men admired each other tremendously. They never met, but they were beset by horrific civil wars.
They corresponded.
They did, and like when Lincoln was assassinated, Benito Juarez had all the flags, official flags in Mexico, flown at half mast for a week. So it's just fitting that finally, since 1964, we're going to have this monument on the United States side facing Lincoln.
And there's a place for it already.
Yes, there's a place.
Well, that makes sense. It's
been approved.
Very exciting.
Yes, it's a neat statue. It really is, seeing him as a small young man to where he is as a grown man.
Well, describe that more clearly. It's a bench and two figures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Two figures. So it's from child to man. On one side of the bench is a little Zapotec. When he was a little Indian boy, he was illiterate, and he's holding a book because he's wanting to learn how to read. And then on the other side of the bench is Benito Juarez as a man when he was in Juarez for 9 months as president of Mexico, fighting the French, which were trying to take over the country. So it's the little boy looking toward Benito Juarez. He is a man. So I think it'll be a very great educational monument for children to see, you know, like here. Look at the greatest president of Mexico who really couldn't even speak English as a 12-year-old. So I think, you know, it has lots of components, historical, educational.
Benito lost his parents when he was 3 years old, and he went to live with an uncle. And then he went to live with his sister who was working for a couple in Mexico. And they more or less adopted him and taught him, and he also went to a seminar. He went to he just loved books. And
well, he had to walk a long way to school every day, didn't he? It was one of those stories.
Well, what I know is, what I've read is that, well, he was, you know, his parents died when he was young. He was being raised by his uncle, and he was a sheep herder. And one day, somebody came along and stole one of the sheep, and he didn't have the courage to go back to tell his uncle that he'd lost one of the sheep. So he walked all the way to Oaxaca, like 12, 15 miles.
40.
40. Oh, miles. My gosh. There's anyway,
40.
So that's when he started to learn as a young boy from his uncle.
But another major historic figure in the region was Benito Juarez, and that's the point. And for those who don't know, how did Juarez become the name of the town?
Well, because he was the greatest Mexican president in Mexico. So I think it was 19, I'll look it up, but it was called Paso del Norte, and then it was switched to Benito Juarez, the city of Benito Juarez, in honor of this great president who was there for 9 months.
When the war was going on with the French, who were trying to take over all of Mexico with Maximilian and Carlota, all that was going on. That should make a movie right there.
Right.
But all that was going on, and then Benito said, I'm getting out of town from Mexico City, and out of town meant Juarez, or Paso del Norte.
Yeah,
because that side of the river was known originally as Paso del Norte, named by Oñate, basically. So El Paso on our side took their name without the Paso del Norte part. It got confusing because one point there, Melissa, there were two El Pasos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And can you imagine being
the
post office guy trying to figure that one out?
But, let's see. Does that go across the river or stay here?
Well, look at all the history here that we're talking about. And what the 12 Travelers Memorials of the Southwest is doing is showing a monument in place and creating them. And then, okay, now we have something to focus our thinking on. Go look at the history. Fabulous stuff. We got to take a break here. Have we covered any of our trivia questions?
Yes, we have.
Oh, well, in that case, what are they?
Well, the first trivia question we have for $10, $20. I'm trying to take $10
again. Time out. The certificates he gave me this time after the one from the first hour, they're now $25.
Ooh.
Now
they're only $10. I get the other $15.
Well, now she wants one in the control room there.
No. They're now $25 and gift certificates to Pepe's and Canutillo, excellent New Mexican food. Remember that, $25.
Yeah.
Or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have several here. Tom Lee's El Paso, which we were talking about, historic sites and markers, the Gunfights, the Old West. Let's see, Ghost Stories, Volume 3 and 4. So for the questions, the first one is, who is the first of the 12 Travelers statues that have been up for quite a few years now in downtown? And who is the artist that created the original 12 Travelers artwork?
I know this one.
These are easy ones.
But so I already got your DVDs.
If you've got an answer to those, please call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Say, folks, my good friends at Mahindra have an exciting event going on at Mahindra dealers across our great nation. Harvest Demo Days, and right now you can test drive any Mahindra tractor or utility vehicle and take home the biggest savings of the year. That's right. Test drive a Mahindra subcompact, compact, or utility tractor or a Mahindra utility vehicle and save. There's just no substitute for experiencing Mahindra quality and performance for yourself. Now, once you're in that seat, you'll see how easy it is to operate a Mahindra and to become a good steward of the land you love. To learn more about the world's number one selling tractor and Harvest Demo Day savings, or to find your dealer, visit MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and test drive a Mahindra today at Goodman Ag in Las Cruces, or visit GoodmanAg.com. That's GoodmanAg.com.
ElPasoHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Team, I recently learned that a good boss has to know how to delegate. That means I get to have other people do the things I don't want to do. So from now on, Tina, you'll be driving me to work. Bill, here's my laundry. Jack, talk to my wife when she calls. Remember, you have to pretend you're interested or she gets really mad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at ElPasoHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hey, this is Mario Lopez. So when planning to celebrate, please make sure to plan for a safe ride home. Don't risk getting a DWI. Call a cab, call a friend, or just stay the night. Don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it, because a DWI could cost you up to $17,000 in fines and fees, jail time, and you could also lose your license. So plan while you can at SoberRides.org. Drink, drive, go to jail. A message from TxDOT.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, I've got a lot of things going on here. I tell you what I'm going to do here is explain to you who's coming in here next week, and then we'll do the Wall of Giants as well. Next week, oh, this is an interesting one. Shelley, our call screener, pretty much put this one together. UTEP professors Shepherd and Cartwright. These are heavy-duty hitters when it comes to El Paso history. They're coming on next week, and the topic is border studies in 1 hour. What is that about? What are they doing about it? And the other one is History Day at UTEP. Yeah. And what they're doing is History Day across the high schools in El Paso, sort of like the science fairs, taking them all out to UTEP for History Day and having awards and stuff. That is going to be interesting. That's all next week. Thank you, Shelley, for arranging for next week. And also, Carter coming in on the 22nd and Waco Tanks. And then coming down into October, we've got Special Collections UTEP, Mission Trail, Patricia's coming back in, Mount Cristo Rey, and you now have figured out how to get the museum director.
The new museum director.
Say his name.
Vladimir Von Sadikov.
That guy's coming in here. And he'll
nice guy.
Thank you for arranging for that. So we take all the help we can where we can get it. And also, just to let you know, the downtown at the History Museum itself, they're having Economy in Action from now through February 28th, the centennial commemoration of the Federal Reserve Bank. You guys went to the opening?
That's a great exhibit. It's a lot of fun. You wouldn't think that talking about the Federal Reserve would be fun, but it is.
She's been coming around with some money. She's got thousands and thousands of dollars in her pocket.
It's just shredded.
You can't use it because it's all shredded. But they'll give that to you down there, apparently.
And some real funny money now.
And so that's going on down there. But also, they've got some programs coming up.
They've got some great programs. On the 22nd of September, they've got a family program. It's called Festival Voices of El Paso. Will present Celebrating Voices of the Voices, the Stories, and Heritage of El Paso. That'll be at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The September 27th at 6 p.m., they're going to present The Legacy of a Family Migration, 100 Years of Mexican Migration to the U.S., Lessons for the Past, Looking Towards the Future. It's a lecture series in collaboration with UTEP. So if you have some more questions, go to their website or call them at 212-0320.
One more quick announcement. We've got three callers lined up, Raphael, Rick, and Lynn. We'll get to you all in just about a second. Shakespeare, New Mexico, they're doing tours again today at 2 o'clock. Get a hold of Keith Wilden. I don't think his phone works out there, but you can try his email, klwilden@gmail.com, if you want to see that. And we're going to have him on the radio here coming up in a few weeks and see what that's all about. All right, shall we go to trivia here?
Yes,
all right, going to first caller was Raphael. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Raphael. Okay, have you got an answer to the first question, please? Who was the first of the 12 travelers?
It was Fray Garcia de San Francisco.
Oh, yes, you said that with such a good accent. Good job. Okay, so did you want a Pepe's or did you want an El Paso Gold DVD?
Pepe's.
Oh, you got it. At $25 now, too.
And today, I don't know if Pepe made a mistake, but he put them all $25. So you get what you get.
Today. But we get $5 commissions. Yeah, that's right.
No, you don't.
Okay. Did you have any more questions, or we'll just keep you on the line here and you can now talk to Shelley?
I just wanted to say good things about Jody, and she's a wonderful woman that's dedicated to getting all the 12 travelers eventually here to El Paso.
Excellent. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you.
Your phone's gone kind of chunky, so I think we're going to move on. But hold on here, though, all right? Raphael is on hold on line one. Line three is ringing. So shall we go to line two?
Line two.
Line two would be Lynn. Lynn, good morning. How's life?
Fine, thank you.
Okay.
Talk to Lynn.
Okay, the second question is, who is the artist that created the original 12 Travelers artwork?
Ooh, I don't know.
Take a guess. Did you hear the first hour today? Take an educated guess. What was the topic in the first hour?
Oh, my gosh. I wasn't listening to the first hour.
Oh, you're fired!
Oh, my gosh.
You have to stay after school now.
But thank you for trying.
All right, thank you.
All right, you take it. That did not work out. Okay, three ended up who? Three is three Rick? Is this Rick on the phone here?
No, this is Raul.
Oh, Raul, how's it going, dude? How's life in the fast lane?
Oh, kind of slow.
Okay.
Well, now, did you want to answer the second question? It was, who is the artist that created the original 12 Travelers artwork?
Yes, I want to answer that question, and I have something that I'd like to talk to you guys about.
Okay, well, what
about.
Was the answer then?
John Houser.
No. The original 12 Travelers artwork.
Oh, the artwork, not the statue. Oh,
right.
I don't know.
All right, well, what's on your mind otherwise?
Shucks. You know what?
They're, as you probably guys heard, they're building a thing over here over at Cohen Stadium.
A what?
I really think, well, some kind of facility. It's going to be a water park.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's got a, I don't know what they're calling it, but I really think they're dropping the ball by not making it the old Mexico, old West town, you know, facility that would celebrate all our history. We still haven't done it. The city council is building arenas and ballparks, but nothing to, again, capitalize on the great history that you guys talk about every Saturday and draw people from outside of the community. Whatever they build over there at Cohen Stadium, if it's nothing that celebrates that, it's just going to be another entertainment venue that I don't think would have the power of drawing people from outside of the community to come and enjoy our history, enjoy our mountains, enjoy our community. They're having a meeting today. I guess you got. I wish you guys would say something about it. You guys have a lot more say.
What is it?
So than I certainly do.
What meeting?
Today, Sean Morgan's having one over there at somewhere here in Northeast El Paso.
Oh, the city rep is having a meeting. Okay. Well, look, yes. The problem is this: the city council has a lot of stuff already made up in their minds. The other issue is we don't do those topics on this show, but there is a show that does.
No, he's saying go to speak at the meeting.
9 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Bring this up on the program next Saturday morning on KTSM for Talk El Paso. That's more the politics where we put that. As far as history, yes, we advocate history, but getting into the minutia, who shot who in the city council these days, it gets too mussy. Mm-hmm. Too mussy. So we're dumping that on the other show.
I will say that personally, I have a lot of us have voiced that opinion to him, and they have a deaf ear.
So there. So take it to, if you don't mind, yeah. Take it to the other show.
Yeah, not at all. But it certainly seems that the city, you guys said it, the city leadership okay. seems to have a deaf ear about this issue.
The only way that this is going to happen, if somebody with private money wants to make an old El Paso Park happen, they have enough money to do it. That's how it's going to occur. I have a lottery ticket for tonight, and it's going to happen. You watch. Oh, we're done with that. Ah, moving on here. All right, we got to take one more break. We got the people in here from the 12 Travelers Monuments of the Southwest. Did I say that right, Jody?
You did, yeah.
Jody Polk Schwartz, not really a cousin, but maybe.
Maybe, probably.
Well, our ancestors came from the same state. We figured that out.
Right.
Because when you were Jody Polk, you had a dad who was in the Army.
Yes,
big
I
time.
Did.
The general.
He was a general, 4-star general. I'm very proud of my father and mother and what they did for our nation.
And you came and ended up in El Paso.
It's my favorite place on earth, and I've lived lots of places. It even beats Paris, yes.
Oh, good. Listen, you hear that? And Preston Dierkup is still with us. We're going to talk more about the 12 travelers, but there is one more break to be had. Shall we do that now? Call us if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text WISH to 350-350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount on LASIK packages, text WISH to 350-350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's WISH to 350-350.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
I used to post to job boards.
Only to sort through tons of resumes.
Just to find a few candidates for
my sales team.
My hair salons.
That old process was
not smart. Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people
and actively invites them to apply
so I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got a caller on hold. We'll get to you in just a second. Trivia just slipping out everywhere. But right now, we have to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Road construction mistakes lead to firings at El Paso Construction Company.
The countdown to the Kaled concert begins. Fans are getting ready for the homecoming of the 20-year-old pop sensation. You're on the wrong week.
I'm on the wrong page.
Here, on wrong week.
I know. Wait, what week have I got? Oh, I got September 8th.
Well, the next one we should read is Inside UTEP's Rocket Test
Site. Yeah, I messed up on
but
that.
You get a line in a second here. Inside UTEP's Rocket Test Site, where students work on experimental engines, satellites, and drones. That's in the ink. And
for home delivery, go to El Paso. Go online to ElPasoInc.com.
It's locally owned, and it's a wonderful thing, and I think we're done with it. Go to the ABC Music. Check you. On ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35, El Paso's own Beto O'Rourke is getting unprecedented national attention. But will he be able to turn the Texas blue? Texas U.S. Senate race is red hot. And incumbent at Texas crew Ted Cruz is looking to President Trump to help him protect a historical conservative advantage in the Lone Star State.
Mauricio Casillas will host, joined by El Paso Inc.'s Aaron Montes and UTEP professor Richard Pineda. And that's ABC 7 Extra is Sunday night, 10:35 p.m.
Did we get a do-over on that?
You know what I did? I jumped a line.
That whole page.
I know. I threw you off. I jumped a line.
Well,
let's
just see what happens next here, because we've got Andrea on the phone.
I even highlighted.
We're going to do a trivia with Andrea. What do you got?
Actually, I wanted to answer your question.
Okay.
Okay. The second question. Who is the artist that created the original 12 Travelers artwork?
I'm going to go out on a real limb here and say Tom Lee.
Yay! Good for you.
Okay, you get that. I think we're done giving away Peppies for this hour, so you got to.
We have an El Paso Gold DVD left, though. We have Tom Lee's El Paso. We have Historic Sites and Markers, Gunfights the Old West, and Ghost Videos 3 and 4.
Tom Lee's El Paso. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, Tom Lee's El Paso is a leisurely look at El Paso. As you sit there and listen to a guy who's over 90 years old, explaining very eloquently what happened to him when he was 12. It's amazing.
My husband loves Tom Lee, but I'm going to have to say I'd like the ghost one.
Ghost 3.
Got 3 or 4.
Ghost 4 is the smelter on a spooky night.
Which one you want, the 3 or 4?
What's 3?
3 is a whole bunch of different segments. One of them is the Pattersons, the missing Pattersons.
And it's also the
oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
That one's that one will blow you away. By the way, we have put the missing Pattersons on my website, ephistory.com. Every week we're dumping three or four more El Paso Herald Post articles on there from the 1950s, the 60s, the 70s, and then it skips over to the 80s and then comes in about 2005. But all the El Paso Herald Post articles are at ephistory.com. Soon enough. Right now we've got a couple of them on there, and it's called The Missing Patterson. So this segment on Ghost 3 pretty much explains what we think happened to the Pattersons. And if you don't know the story of the Pattersons, this will amaze you, because they're still apparently missing.
Isn't that the one where they lived in the central area and they had tunnels or something?
No. This is up against the mountain. It's in Kern Place. And Piedmont Street, I think it is up there. Anyway, take a look at that. Shelley will tell you how to pick it up, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for holding. And there you go. So, by the way, Jody Schwartz and Pester Cupper here. You remember the Patterson story.
Yes.
That was ancient history, but it's still never been solved. That's what that is. Okay, back to the issue of the 12 Travelers. You have a number of things you want to share with us, Jody Schwartz.
Well, I want to clarify or tell you the dates when Benito Juarez was in Juarez for 9 months, and it was 1865. And then in 1888 is when Juarez became the city of Juarez instead of Paso del Norte.
The name.
1888. Then I wanted to also say Ethan Hauser is now the sculptor. He's
John's son, and he's worked beside John for all three monuments.
Excellent artist.
Now he's a fabulous artist, and he's already created a medallion of Benito Juarez and Lincoln that will be a part of the display, a part of the monument display, and which is so appropriate, as I explained earlier. You know how they were such they admired each other so tremendously, and when they were both in dreadful civil wars.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to tell about the medallion, bronze medallion.
Is that available to purchase?
Sure, yeah. We'll have one, but yes, I'm sure it'll be a limited edition.
That's what I mean. In the past, you did some things you were able to sell to make raise money.
Right, we can do that.
Well, didn't you have the small statues?
Maquettes. They will definitely be for sale also, yes.
Okay.
We'll have a limited edition of 25. That's one way we raise money.
The medallions, it'd be great.
Are there any maquettes left over from the previous monuments?
Not right now. We'd have to make more. So I'd say they'd be hard to find now.
Oh,
so
boy.
Get them while they're being made.
You talk about a real collector's item. You're only making 25 of these medallions? Okay. And how do they get one?
And 25 maquettes also.
Oh, maquettes. Okay. Now, this is a website issue?
That's our website. I do want to say that it's just been updated by Perry Hauser, who's Nick Hauser's son, and he's a fabulous webmaster.
Yes.
So you can go online. It's 12travelers.com, like the letters 12, or xiitravelers.org. And it's a beautiful website that tells everybody that's interested everything about the project.
The four monuments that have been contemplated, Juarez being number four, right?
Right.
How far along is that? Do you need much more money, or what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. It's always the case.
Well, you complete one once in a while, then you go on to the next one.
Right.
Where are you on this one?
This one is going to cost $290,000, and we've raised $75,000.
Oh, so you'd have some ways to go.
Right. And so right now, Ethan is working on the maquette, and so in the next several months, that will be in bronze. In the next 3 to 4 months, I would imagine.
Where's it going?
The maquette. I think we'll have to have an unveiling.
No, where's the statue going?
Oh, it's going to be at the Chamizal. The Chamizal. Over life-size figures. Benito as a young man, as a child, a 12-year-old, and as an adult in Juarez when he was the president of Mexico.
Where's it going to be located at the Chamizal? Is it going to be up by the buildings, or is it going to be farther over in the park?
It's going to be in front of the building, facing Mexico, by the entrance.
And it's going to be life-size, right?
No, over life-size. Ethan's trying to decide if he wants it 1.5, or he's thinking through that, how big it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it should be, because it's just it looking, and I'm going to post a picture of it up on the Facebook page, and I'm also going to post the website so people can go from our El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page and take a look at it.
Good.
Because it is very interesting, because the simple fact that Benito Juarez was an Indian, or a native, he was a native of Mexico in the sense.
Zapotec Indian.
Indian, thank you. And that was in itself was amazing for that time period for him to raise up, because prior to that, you didn't have anybody of that kind of stature that would have been a president of Mexico. They had always been of mixed blood or mestizo, you know, however you wanted to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to raise up as, like I said, an uneducated native, to be able to rise to the power that he did was amazing.
It is.
So I think
it's
this
a
is
great
quite,
story.
And I think that's one of the reasons he had such a good relationship with Lincoln. Lincoln himself was a very poor boy, came from nothing, had lost his family. I think there was also that kinship there.
True.
They
so
had some
true.
Likeness. So I just always found it was a very interesting story.
And when you look at that picture, there may be a slight change, you know, from the eye of the artist. Sometimes there's always a little change. And, of course, John had his idea.
Yeah.
Ethan is now going to have his. And there's been a few little minor things that we know about.
Well, he originally, John, his dad, had wanted the boy facing one direction and Benita facing the other. I just looked and went, oh, my gosh, they're both facing the same direction now.
Right.
Yes.
They are. So Ethan's doing his version. And he should, that's his prerogative.
Well, if you sit in the middle, you can get your picture with both of them.
Right.
Yes.
And there will be room for people to sit in the middle.
And you're going to allow people to sit on that?
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's like one. It's like the Shelby that we have at Keystone. You can stand. You can touch the dog. Kids love to come. They love to touch. They can touch the book that she has. I mean, they're hands-on statues, which is nice. They're heavy duty, you know.
That's
and people
right.
can touch them and feel them, and they love to do that. And I think
the
that's
dog
a great
ring.
Doug Ring, thank you.
Ring.
I always forget his name.
All right, so now you've got number four in progress. You need a couple hundred grand more. Be nice. Again, there's a lottery this evening. I bought a ticket, so I'll help you out with it. Now, think about that. Wouldn't it be something if you had a billionaire, millionaire, whoever, with too much money, they'd say, you know what? Those guys on the radio are correct. I should give my money to the history people.
We'd love it.
Well, give it to the 12 travelers, my goodness. And then what would number five monument be? You have that figured out yet?
We'd love Cabeza de Vaca and Estebanico.
Oh,
and then also the Tiguas are interested in having their Tigua chief that came down in 1680. I forgot his name. It's not Pope. But they're really interested in having Ethan do a monument of that chief.
But you're not talking about Pope. You're talking about a Tigua chief.
Yeah, it's not Pope.
Because Pope was not a Tigua.
No, it's not. I forgot his name,
okay.
I hate to say.
But
they're interested in Ethan doing
right.
that.
Cabeza de Vaca, you want to throw a little history behind that real quick?
I love him. Well, it took him, he was shipwrecked with Estebanico in the early 1500s off the shores of Florida. And then they almost all the crew and everybody died. He and a few people made it to the Galveston area of Texas.
Walking.
Well, and then they walked for it was an 8-year epic journey.
Oh,
and they came through this region. Now, we don't exactly know where, but it's just such a story that... that he lived through and went back to Spain and wrote about it. So he's one of my heroes, actually.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Amazing man. Yeah.
Now, also, you had a mission statement you wanted to read us?
Sure. Okay, so our 12 Travelers mission is to celebrate our region's rich history with monumental bronze statues commemorating the diverse men and women who traveled through the Pass of the North over the past 5 centuries. We have the oldest and greatest history in Texas and the United States.
And I have a slogan to throw in on that Benito lives by.
This is Press Derek.
And that
Cup,
is
right?
power of education that motivates children to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That
like
goes
that.
With the book. And it's what we all need to know and help.
What you can do in the El Paso County area, if you really want to get involved in the history, you can go stand on the Camino Real.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right now.
They're getting the signs up, too.
Well, and the signs are everywhere now.
Everywhere.
And Bernie
yes.
and a bunch of people had a whole bunch to do with getting those signs up. It took Bernie Sargent, 12 years to get that done?
Yeah.
They're up.
It's a government.
but the thing was, these are government signs that say the Camino Real goes through here.
But when they put them up, they're everywhere.
Aren't there 44? How many are there?
Have no idea. Just everywhere I look along the Camino Real, there's even one off of my street off of Red Road that just like,
it's great.
Love it.
I know, it's great.
But what you learn from all that is never give up.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
There's always hope.
But also, if you happen to go to Pepe's for lunch today, the Camino Real goes right through his living room.
Right.
It does. I mean, if you had to build the Camino Real back where it originally was, you'd have to tear down the building Pepe's is in to put it in. Pepe's is right on top of the Camino Real.
Other words, we're picnicking on the Camino Real.
Yeah, we're going to have a picnic with Oñate today. And by the way, would you pick a special there, Jody Schwartz? Whatever you say becomes $6 today.
Oh, okay. The combination plate number 3.
Number 3.
God,
okay. Listening out there, Pepe's number 3 is a combo. What that happens, people then will go order that and get it for $6. Whatever the price is on the menu doesn't matter. Thank you, Jody. So that's the Oñate special today. And we do the Oñate special because... it is on the Camino Real.
That's great.
Well, right, Jackson, excuse me.
Go ahead, somebody.
I have one more quote from John Houser.
Okay.
El Paso is the place John Houser thought may well have more history per square inch than the entire state of Texas. That's what he always
Texas
thought.
Texas history begins in El Paso.
That's right.
I've heard that somewhere, and it's true.
And that's what I was going to say, too. You have lived around the world, kind of, like I have, and you see that we've got such a diverse history. Nobody's fighting over the particular history that the other group is trying to promote.
Yeah.
And we've got a fantastic history.
Well, the problem with the history in El Paso to promote it is there's so much of it, you got to get a handle on it and start up somewhere.
Right.
And that's what we do on the program here. We do our best to just cover whatever we can. And we'll get back to the gunfighters eventually, but they're not the only thing.
Oh, there's so much
And yet
more.
Oñate's not the only thing. And on and on and on. Villa, the Mexican Revolution, yada, yada. And, sooner or later, we'll get to all of it. And then we'll start over.
Yes.
Going into the phones here, a guy named Bill's on the phone. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Jody.
Yes, sir.
Pause.
Good morning. I'm coming in half time here, but heard your father was general. Was he major general out here at Fort Bliss, commander?
No, he was James H. Polk. He was a four-star general, and he retired as commander of U.S. Army Europe in 1971. He started off in Fort Bliss and met my mother there, and he was honorary colonel of the 3rd Armored Cavalry, which was his greatest pride and joy, but he never commanded in Fort Bliss.
Okay, so he was Brave Rifles?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Jody, another question I had. I did Albert Schwartz put up on the World War II registry while he was still alive. You're not kin to the Schwartz popular family then, are you?
No, we always say we're the unpopular Schwartz.
You're from the poor side. Jody, thanks. I'll be talking to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bill, thanks for the call. You take her easy. Bill's always into military. Bill's very good at making sure military people get recognized.
Yes.
Fabulous thing he does. All right, we need to take one more break here. We've got the 12 Travelers on the brain.
That's right.
If you had a question about 12 Travelers, like I did, I wanted to know who number 5 was. And now I think we have it sort of figured out.
Yes, we do.
But if you have another question,
you can give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 17% or less than 6% APR? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/talk. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 17% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/talk. That's LightStream.com/talk. LightStream.com/talk.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/talk for more information.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to call your attention to a couple of things. There is now a new show on KTSM, 9 a.m. Saturdays. It's called Talk El Paso. You'll hear it again next Saturday morning. And that's with Andrew J. Polk. They're doing issues of all kinds all over the board, where what we do is basically history, which keeps us usually out of trouble. Usually. But what we're doing now on El Paso History on TV, we got ourselves into another situation where we're going to start doing what we do on radio. We're going to do little snippets on television, like Leon Metz used to do on ABC 7. Mm-hmm. We're now going to do those again. And guess who's going to be the guy on camera? Mr. Bernie Sargent. He is the man who, to me, epitomizes El Paso history these days.
Yeah.
So we're going to crank old Bernie up there. We got a deal with the Pioneer Association, of which he is a part. And this is going forward because ABC 7 says, yeah, we'll take them. They want to look at them first. They're not stupid. But, yeah, we'll put those on our air. So here we go. El Paso History on TV. And there's a GoFundMe page if you're interested in getting involved. And now, Celebration of the Mountains.
Yeah, there's a couple of tours going on this weekend. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., who's running around in the desert at night? It may be you. They're going to have a great event. This is great for taking the kids out there. And they're going to be bring a flashlight, one white and one UV if you've got it, and a camera. And you can meet at the gate at the Tom May Park unit in the Franklin Mountains. And it's $2 park fee, and you can meet with Dr. Paul Hader. And they're going to be taking out and show you what's living in the desert at
night. No sandals.
No sandals. Closed-toe shoes, please.
Yeah, wear some boots.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m., September 9th, they're going to take a 5 to 6 hour drive. So this is great for people that can't get out and hike. It's a drive and stop tour of the highlights, the El Paso geology. And the tour will be led by Dr. Phil Goodell, one of the best people to go out for, because he'll go on and on. He's wonderful.
I've hiked with him. He's crazy.
And he's the founder of this whole thing, the Celebration of Our Mountains. And the El Paso, it's an unusual geologic setting, and he takes you all over the place. So meet him. Let me turn the page for, you had to email him. Oh, I messed up on that one. They're not telling me where it's going to start, so I apologize. But if you go
to their website.
Go to the website, which is Celebration CELEBMountains.org, or just Google Celebration of Our Mountains.
That's to be assisted. He's now created another one called Celebration of Our History,
which will start in
Press. Did you hear me?
January.
Celebration of Our History, Mountains History. Here
which
we
will
go.
Be a place where you can
it's
also
about
post
time.
Things. Yeah, you can post information about the 12 travelers too.
Okay, now there's one thing I forgot to do, but we really need to do, and that is to thank the people in the control room.
Those historic people in there.
Well, historic Shelley Sutherland. She's a legacy child.
That's right.
As she is, and so
she's
we thank
a legacy
you for screening the calls and acting nice in there when she does on the phone.
That's
and
right.
The guy who does the electrons. 1, 2, 3.
Sergio Valenzuela.
That's him.
As we blow his headphones off his head.
And blow the doors off everybody's phone around. But no, we really thank them for what they do, because we're sitting here talking all the time, but they're making it go someplace. That's always good. All right, well, last moment here. We got about a minute. The 12 Travelers of the Southwest, Press their cup.
Okay. I just want to say that, unfortunately, we lost John Hauser on January 10 of this year, and it broke our hearts that he wouldn't be here to finish the one thing he wanted so badly. But we're blessed because we have his son, Ethan, and he has been by his father's side the whole time. And he said, of course, we're going to finish this. So our board is very intent of making sure that this happens as a legacy to John. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Nick Hauser.
Nick is
John's brother.
He
is the author's. He's a historian, he's an anthropologist, and he has documented everything.
He's the researcher.
For the 12 travelers.
Yeah.
And so we're blessed that we have his work to pass on to generations to come.
He's actually working on a book of Benito Juarez. I think he's already up to 150 pages.
It sounds like we're out of here about a minute earlier, according to my clock, but that's okay. We'll take it in stride and see you next week. Shall we do that?
Yeah, we'll do that, and I put up the website for 12 Travelers on our Facebook page.
EPHistory.com for details. Thank you all for joining us. See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.